Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. Today's date is Friday, February 1st. My name is Jeff Crisco, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing well. The wife is sick again, and I'm a little sick again. And so hopefully this is not going to put us into a two-week funk. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Took me 2 hours to do a 45-minute drive. But other than that, I'm good. Especially good because we have a returning guest, Mr. Evan Hoovler of website Football Absurdity. I'm sure you've heard of it. Evan, how are you other than listening to Incredibles 2?
What up? I'm doing great.
There you go. So we'll get the notes out of the way. This is the podcast for footballabsurdity.com. Kind of in a shallow period right now. We do fantasy football mainly, but Evan does some great hot takes from crazy people, stuff like that. We're going to start after the Super Bowl getting back into some fantasy football coverage. So if you want to check out the site on Monday morning, we'll have sleepers and busts from every position that'll start to publish. And then we'll get into way too early top 10 lists at each position. You can follow the website at fballabsurdity.com. Where I may be posting more and more because I'm currently suspended from Twitter, so don't make fun of literal neo-Nazis, kids, or else you'll get suspended from Twitter. Mike is RFL Red Zone, and Evan does not use Twitter. You are on Facebook, right, Evan?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, but I don't look at it too much. I'm from Yeah, I mean, Facebook friend me. That's where my fans go.
There you go. Facebook friend Evan, Evan Hoovler. Evan is currently working on a book. Are you still on track? When's that supposed to come out? March?
I just finished the final edits from my editor, and it's supposed to come out, March or maybe April. This is the worst time in book writing, though, when you've had to read it 15 times because your editor keeps saying, okay, this chapter is good. Can you do it again, except totally the opposite of how you did it? You know, and this isn't funny, and this is offensive. So right now I'm in the, oh my God, my book is a bunch of stale nonsense stage. No, it's good. Buy it, people. Everybody buy it. All dozens of our listeners, please. Thank you for making the book, though.
Yeah, what's it called, though? How are they supposed to buy it?
It's called Teaching with Comedy, and it'll be out via Kaplan, the test prep people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
Thank you. You know, they asked me for a book pitch, and I said, why don't I just write something and we slap workbook on it? Because that seems to sell. And they were like, yeah, kind of. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that format of it being a SAT prep book, but for how to be funny. All right. So it is currently 2 days from the Super Bowl, 2 days from Tom Brady winning his record-setting 500th Super Bowl.
Wrong. MVP.
And we have some prop bets. Everybody loves them. They're not just straight like, hey, who's going to win the game or what's the final score going to be? It's what's going to happen in the game. So we're really going to break down the Super Bowl, get really in depth with these prop bets, talk about what's important with these. So we'll just go through them. There's about 10 of them, I think. And we'll go through. Mike, Evan, and myself will give our thoughts, real in-depth analysis as best we can, and then we will make our picks, and then we'll see how we did next week. First one up, Gladys Knight is doing the national anthem, and the prop bet is, will Gladys Knight use a microphone on a stand or not? And some notes, Pink used a microphone last year, Luke Bryan did not the year before, but Gladys Knight did not use a mic stand singing America the Beautiful at the U.S. Open in 2006. These notes are courtesy of CBS. So very important stuff, very crucial to the game. So microphone stand or not? Mike, what do you think?
Well, I think she's going to pip her way into using a microphone. So I would say yes, microphone, very pippish.
That's microphone a great question stand. That I need to know before I make my bet. Will she be backed up with the pips? Because ooh, that will involve a lot more hip swaying and movement, and so then she'll probably want the freedom that a microphone stand does not grant.
Or does she start with the mic stand and then take it off the mic stand? That's a big, that's a power move.
What does that do for Vegas?
I think it's just says if it's in the stand at some point, or I'm going to lock in. Yes, she uses it. Cause I think at the end she hits, even if she starts without it, she puts it in the mic stand at the end. So she can do like a double hand raise on like Home of the Brave. Like she does those sweeping arm moves.
Gladys Knight is 74 years old. I would imagine that holding something for 2 minutes at a time is uncomfortable.
So you're going to go with yes.
I'm going to go with mic stand. Yeah.
All right. We're all locked in. Yes. On mic stand. So very important there.
Easy money.
Free money, everybody. This is, you can go to not sponsoring us, betdsi.com. Actually, I don't know if it's on betdsi.com, but this next one, easy money, I'm going to lock us all in is yes. It's actually an over under, and I'm going to lock us all in on the over 2.5 times. Jim Nantz and or Tony Romo say Gronk. Easy.
Oh, that's easy money. Tony Romo loves his nicknames. I mean, he played with these guys for over a decade. He's going to say Gronk or Gronk, Gronk, Gronk.
Yeah, that's easy money. That's an easy over. Mike?
Yeah, I agree. I think that by the time Tony Romo is done using the word Gronk, it will be officially in the Webster's Dictionary.
2.5 times, really?
Easy money. I feel like it'll be 2.5 at halftime.
Get in on that now, people. That's going to shift come game time.
Well, over is -270. So it's really like you got to lay a lot of money to make anything, but I feel like it's just free money. So, all righty. Next one up. Jim Nantz or Tony Romo mentions the spread.
I'm going to go with a negative on that. I do not think the spread will be announced.
What channel is this on?
CBS.
Oh, I don't think he'll do the spread. The CBS is the old people channel, and they want to be family friendly.
So this is, I think he,
I'm with Mike.
I think he'll indirectly mention it because he'll say, I think what'll happen is there'll be a late score either to bring it close to get it within the spread or it goes out of the spread. And he'll say something like, I think the people in the desert will sure not be happy about that one just because Tony Romo's kind of a, you know, an everyman weirdo and he'll like skirt the, hey, don't talk about gambling. So I think he'll mention it, but he'll do it in a roundabout way. So I don't know if that would count in Vegas.
Yeah. What is it? Do you have to say the points? I would think you have to take the points because everybody goes, you know, the Patriots are favored to win, and that doesn't really imply gambling.
That's true. With that in mind, I'm going to take the no. I think that they'll, like you said, it's the old people network. They want to pretend like gambling doesn't exist. So all right. This is probably my favorite one. Over under 2.5 times this game, Tony Romo says, "Here we go." Because that's his catchphrase. If he has one, it's all right. Here we go. After a good play, I mean, so over like, under 2.5.
That's like 4 hours of broadcasting. How can you not? You know, I say my catchphrase all the time, which is I don't know, and I can't imagine not saying that at least 4 times in 3 hours.
Yeah, I agree with on that one as well. I think that I hear. As soon as you mentioned, here we go, I hear it in my head, him saying it. So, yeah, I don't think that, yeah, it's not going to be any problem for him to get the over on that one.
Yeah, these are kind of fairly straightforward. Next one is, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say over 2.5 times because the Rams have that, like, chunk offense, so he'll get super excited when they get, like, you know, catch and run for, like, 25 yards. Oh, here we go. So I think so. All right. First of all, before we move on, Evan, is everything okay at your house? I heard a big crash.
The kids got into the packing material, and that crash you hear is them jumping up and down on their hands and knees on bubble wrap.
Okay. Okay, good.
Whew. Correct answer is I don't know, but as long as I keep my children bubble wrapped, I don't have to watch them.
I was going to say, out of all things to worry about, I think a protective material is okay. All right. Next one is... They say goat. Nantz or Romo say goat in reference to Tom Brady. I don't think Nantz will. I think Romo will. I think that's a lot of Romo's wildcardness makes kind of these ones pretty easy.
I agree. Jim Nantz is more the by-the-book guy who eschews these modern phrases from these hip 40-somethings. Whereas Tony Romo is all about the slam.
Oh, you there? We lost you there for a sec.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to tell my kids to go away 1 second. Sorry about that. I'll be back.
Scram, brats. we'll vamp for a second. So, Mike, what are you doing for the Super Bowl this weekend?
Well, normally what we do is go down to my in-laws, and he puts out this huge spread, and by the time, like, halftime hits, I'm pretty much a Homer Simpson, but we're not going down this time, and my wife is going to sacrifice herself and make me happy and put together a little Super Bowl party.
Nice. That's stuff.
Awesome. How's your wife doing? I'm sorry she's sick.
Oh, yeah, she's doing all right. She just anytime she's asthmatic, so anytime she has a cold, it like affects her lungs. So, yeah, it's just one of those double doers. But, yeah, thank you for asking. Yeah, she's suffering through it, but she'll be fine. Yeah,
I didn't ask because I'm a jerk. Okay.
I love a good Super Bowl party for collecting $1 prop bets. It's so nice to get like 15 people in a room screaming because they all bet for the first soda commercial to be Diet Coke and the crowd goes wild. It's one of my favorite parts about the Super Bowl.
Remember
the Bud Bowl? I used to love the Bud Bowl.
Oh yeah, I'm halfway through it. I'm cooking up a photo series of why the Bud Bowl no longer exists. And it's because steroids came in. So I'll have these 40 bottles going against the offensive line of 12-ounce bottles, and they just smash each other, and then everyone starts screaming in the crowd because there's beer everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. This is a tragedy.
All right. I'm having a few friends from the neighborhood over. Instead of prop bets, we have a Super Bowl bingo where it's like commercials stuff. And the winner gets a very special prize, which nobody knows is a Patriots fidget spinner I found on Amazon for $3. All right. Next one up. Prop bets. Everybody's good. Everybody's alive. Kids are good. Kids are quiet.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. You're fine.
Wife got held up at work with her insane lawsuits.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sean McVay, we're going to go with age mentioned over 1.5 times. And I think they have to say specifically 33 years old, which is his age. I think they have to say.
Oh, God. Yeah, twice. He's half the age of Bill Belichick. Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. Especially, I could see them all just combining all together the age and the GOAT reference. Tony Romo's got to pay homage to Tom Brady. So,
Jeff, if you worked in the desert, what would you set the line at for that? What would be the over-under for you?
So it was just his birthday, so that's one. Two is they're going to mention at a separate point that Belichick's exactly twice as old as him. They'll probably bring it up. I would probably set it at 2.5 because they'll bring up his birthday. They'll bring up him being double. And then if he has a huge play, Romo would be like, can you believe it? This guy's only 33 years old cooking up plays like this 4 times. Cause they'll mention that he played against Julian Edelman.
I think 3.5 is where I would.
Yeah. 3.5 is a good, is where I would put it.
You have a tough decision.
Yeah, because then it all comes down to if Romo spazzes out and says, you know, can you believe it? Cooks up something only 33 years old, something like that.
So yeah, I would how logical you are about these bets designed for crazy people.
Yeah, for just the most degenerate gamblers. I'm going to cut out some of the other ones because they're slam dunks. But this one is very crucial to the game. So Super Bowl halftime show is going to be Maroon 5. And there is a prop bet of will Christina Aguilera make an appearance during the halftime show? She's done the halftime before. She's on The Voice with Adam Levine, and they did Moves Like Jagger. So they kind of have to do her if they're going to do Moves Like Jagger.
What channel is The Voice on? NBC, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they won't be like
CBS doesn't watch like that.
Well,
I don't want people being like, they harmonize well. Where can I see this great couple again?
Well, they'll do Moves Like Jagger, you know.
Prop bets on the halftime show are one of my favorites because, you know, they're usually more oriented for the ladies, which I like, But I also want something to keep me listening too. So I like doing prop bets. I like that people are betting on the halftime show. No, yeah. Is my answer.
No. All right, no. Mike.
Yeah, whenever you bring up Maroon 5, I think about how ridiculous it is that they had to cancel their news conference because of Colin Kaepernick. But I still don't understand how that's even a topic anymore in today's day. But
it's,
whatever.
It's because Maroon 5, okay, here's why. It doesn't have anything to do with Colin Kaepernick. It has to do with the fact that everybody is going to ask questions that Maroon 5 doesn't want to answer. And they probably said, hey, look, NFL, this isn't our freaking fight. So whatever you're dealing with, we're not going to answer any questions.
Yeah, they're playing for free.
Yeah, so it's like,
why am I even doing a press conference?
Yeah, like, why? They're just like, no, NFL, we're not. We're all your, because, I mean, CTE, the Colin Kaepernick thing, the Saints thing, they're like, we don't want to deal with these questions. We're going to play music, and that's it. So I think it's a lot of factors because, yeah, like Kevin said, they're playing for free. But anyways, Mike, not to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. We'll put some light on it, too, because I surely didn't get it. But anyways, that makes a little bit more sense. So, yeah, you know, they always have those kind of special guests, especially during halftime where they bring on somebody. I mean, I can't remember exactly.
Like the bad half of Outkast.
Yeah, yeah, not the good half of Outkast is going to be.
Not the one with more than one solo song.
Yeah, the Dime Store Timbaland is going to be in this one, Big Boy. But yeah, and then Travis Scott. So they're going to do that Cupid. That's easy money. But so, anyways, Christina.
Oh, sorry, I'm stepping on you, sorry.
It's all right, I'm stepping on everybody.
That's all right, because I'm not really sorry.
Yeah. Call me Godzilla because I'm stepping on everybody. So Mike, sorry, I'll let you continue. You keep talking and I keep being a huge jerk, so
no, you're fine. No, I pretty much finished. I was just going to say I do believe that Aguilera is going to make an appearance.
Okay, so that's yes for Mike, no for Evan.
Nice.
With big money on the line.
All right. Speaking of, while you're on the halftime show, can I just say the most popular prop bet that happens at all my Super Bowl parties that everyone gets in on, I don't know why, is what's the first song that's going to be performed by the artist? And I pulled it up here. What would your call be? What's the first song? What's Maroon 5 going to come out to, Jeff?
Let me see. I'm definitely not Googling Maroon 5 songs.
Yes, that's, I'm definitely not pulling up Vegas odds right now.
I'm really thinking this one through. I'm definitely not clicking on top 10 Maroon 5 songs updated 2017.
I'm looking at the Vegas odds, and four of the first of the top five I've never heard of.
I actually, okay, so if they do Moves Like Jagger, it'll be second or third song. Travis, they're not going to do the first song with Travis Scott. I'm going to say Animals. That's a good one to start off with. That high energy.
Plus 600 right now.
It's plus 600?
Yeah. All right. It's number four.
Oh, what's actually, Evan.
Yeah, I want Mike to weigh in before I start sharing it.
Okay, so I have no idea what this song is. I've never heard of it. I really don't even know most of Maroon 5 songs, but since the title sounds like it should be played, I'm going to go with One More Night.
Yes. See, what's the deal, man? This brings up a great point, Mike. Why isn't Daft Punk headlining the halftime show? Give me the psychedelic pyramid. Get me the house arena rock music, thumping bass. Ah, yeah. I don't know what One More Night is, but that's all I hear when I hear
that. I just listened to a quick split second of it, and I actually kind of agree with Mike now.
Mike nailed the number one and plus 300.
All right. So Evan's going to go with the odds on favorite, I guess.
No, I'd say sure.
Evan goes with
two very scientific reasons. Number one, it has 1.5 billion hits on YouTube. Number two, it's the best one for the ladies. Number three, and this, I really had to run the stats. This is the only Maroon 5 song I know. So it's got to be that one.
I'm switching to One More Night too, because the more I think about it, it has that good, like, the stupid thing where Justin Timberlake started in the club underneath the stands or whatever, or Lady Gaga started on top of the stadium. It has that, like, that hook, the of him going like, ooh, 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 ooh.
I was super scared when Lady Gaga jumped off the stadium. I covered up my kid's eyes. Yeah, I didn't know that what was going on.
Gaga's good. She's fine. She's fine. All right. Last prop bet before we start talking about how dumb we are and how bad we are at doing fantasy football predictions. All right. So, guys, you guys remember The Apprentice? You guys know that show?
Oh, heck yeah.
Whatever happened to that guy?
The star of that show. It's crazy. So he's the president. Donald Trump.
I thought he'd do so much more with his life.
Something like that. Trump. Anyways, this guy loves Twitter. I don't know. You guys hear about this? He loves Twitter. The old Cheeto in chief. Prop bet. Will Donald J. Trump congratulate the winner on Twitter.com? And we'll say the day of the Super Bowl. On Sunday, is he going to congratulate the Patriots or the Rams?
I'm going to say that he will congratulate the Patriots. But if the Rams win, he won't congratulate the Rams.
Is Donald Trump involved with the new XFL?
Yes.
No. He's is not? He?
I think he is. No,
this another prop bet? All right.
I thought he had to divest all of his like business interests as part of being president. I think being part of
still does business. He still does a lot of his business at a restaurant he owns.
Well, I mean, there's what he was supposed to do, and then there's what he's actually done. I don't think he undertook additional business interests in the new XFL. I think that would be he thinks that Ed McMahon actually died, so there's that.
Ed McMahon's alive?
Well, not Ed McMahon. Vince McMahon.
Someone should live Vince 150 McMahon. Years.
He thought Vince McMahon actually died because there was a thing where he got into a limo and called like Vince McMahon's wife was like, "Oh my God, is he okay? Did he die?" Like, because his brain can't handle something being fake.
I think Donald Trump's still hurt in the b-hole about. Can we say hurt in the b-hole?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, families. I'm saying in front of my six-year-old, so I think he's still hurting the beehole about the USFL getting $3.76 in a court hearing. So I'm sure he'll tweet about it, but I think it's going to be thank goodness that farce of a league is over. Haha! Congrats to the Rams for ending our season because that league sucks. Does that count?
Yeah, I think so. I think that counts.
I'll still go with no.
I'm going with no. Mike?
I'm going to go with no because I think the Rams are going to win.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to go with no because I had to set the parameter of that day. I think he'll be too busy, like, I don't know, watching Fox and Friends or something, and then he'll tweet it out the next morning at, 3:30 in the morning because he wakes up to pee and then gets angry.
Also, didn't the Eagles decline the invite?
Yes.
That stuff sticks with him. Yeah, he didn't invite the Warriors this year.
He wants to feed them, White Castle.
Welcome to America.
Emphasis on white. Hey, all right. Ooh. So those are our prop bets for the Super Bowl.
Because the meat is undercooked. I got it.
Woo, got it. All right. So that's the prop bets for the Super Bowl. I think we put the Super Bowl to bed. There's nothing else to talk about it. God is dead. The Patriots are going to win.
Go Patriots.
Bruh. Gross.
Accelerator.
Gross. All right.
Accelerator so this timeline where I can just be evil all the time and everyone's cool with it.
What we're going to do next is we are going to go back. Mike and I listened to our old predictions episodes, our hot takes episodes, battle royale episodes. And we're just going to do a quick review, see how bad we are at this. So let's go through it a little bit. We'll talk it through. We'll start with the rounds 1 through 5 hot takes. Evan was on the Battle Royale episode, which we'll get to, good news. Little preview of that. Mike does not have to renounce Jesus Christ. So that's some good news. Cause that was a condition of one of his statements, according to Evan. So rounds 1 through 5 hot takes.
I make my best count.
Yeah.
You guys do your thing. I'm gonna get another beer. Sorry about that.
All right, we'll go for it. All right. So rounds one, for our hot takes, Mike and I, let's see, Mike looked at mine. I looked at Mike's. I don't know if Mike, do you remember your round one hot take?
No, I haven't looked at mine at all.
All right. So both of us, this is wonderful. So this is like how extraordinarily wrong we were. So I said DeAndre Hopkins will finish outside the top five wide receiver and finish like wide receiver 8. I was actually right halfway through the year because I remember we stopped and looked at it and he was like wide receiver 7 or something. He was wide receiver 2 on the year. So I was very wrong there. But good news is that I was not wrong as Mike was. Mike, your round one hot take. There is the number one scoring running back of the year with 338.3 fantasy points and half PPR was Saquon Barkley. Your hot take was that he finished 15th on the year.
Oh, I remember. Ooh,
that. Yeah. I was looking at these and I went, oh boy, that one is bad. And I remembered the DeAndre Hopkins one because I was following all year. Cause as soon as I said, I was like, that is so spicy. I don't know if I believe it, but I left it as is. So, yeah. So how do you feel about that, about the Saquon Barkley thing? Were you just trying to get spicy or so he ended the year with 1300 rushing yards. He had 91 receptions for 721 receiving yards, but he had 15 touchdowns. He pretty much was their offense. So, did anything about that surprise you? Was number of touchdowns, number of targets? He had 121 targets. Like, what about Saquon Barkley's finish? Do you think surprised you versus what you hot takely thought might happen?
Well, my biggest reason was their offensive line and Eli Manning being a horrible quarterback. I just thought that those two was just going to completely crush his value. And also being rookie and, you know, learning the ropes was another app. So you got those three strikes against you. I think was the big difference is that none of that mattered. he played like none of that mattered. Long touchdown runs, short runs, anything and everything, catching the ball over the place. If someone said the Giants had bad offensive line, it didn't look like it to him. So, yeah, I think that's probably where the major difference was the fact that I thought he'd suffer those situations, but obviously that was no match for him.
Yeah, it ended up not mattering. So mine, my DeAndre Hopkins thing, I anticipated, what I really anticipated was a second wide receiver coming up, bubbling up. I thought it might be Kiki QT. There was Bruce Ellington ended up there for a little bit and Demaryius Thomas ended up getting traded there. None of that materialized. So he was the same target hog that he has been for his entire career. He had 163 targets, ended with 1,500 receiving yards, 1,572 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns. It was harder for me to be more wrong about that. But it's just what I envisioned happening never materialized because Kiki QT was hurt. He popped, but he was hurt for a while and just never materialized as that second option. So Hopkins stayed the target monster he's been his whole career that I thought wouldn't happen. So I'm gonna revise my hot take. Let's see, round one hot take. Antonio Brown whines and cries his way off the Steelers. How's that for a hot take?
I hope. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I'm going to go back in time and re-record that episode. So
they've had some trouble with people whining and crying, haven't they? Brown and Bell.
It's what happens when your quarterback is not a leader. And neither is your head coach.
Can even go back to Mike Wallace, even though Mike Wallace had problems everywhere else. The first problem he started off with was at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think it's these guys are like, I think we talked about it on Facebook or Twitter where it was these guys are, they're not lunatics. Lev Bell took the logical step to the extreme, but they're guys that need a leader to be put in line, for lack of a better term, to buy into the team. Like this wouldn't go and Tom Brady would not handle this. I mean, he got Jimmy G traded because Jimmy G was too handsome and might take his spot. So I think that it was Ben Roethlisberger is so eager to throw people under the bus and he's not a supportive quarterback. So I think that's why the Steelers are in a mess is because Big Ben's just a big baby and he doesn't lead the team. All right. So speaking of the AFC North, nailed it. That is a transition. Mike, your round two hot take was that Joe Mixon would end the season as the top, as a top five running back. He ended the season as running back nine, so it wasn't so bad. I mean, he was a running back one. He had 1,168 rushing yards, eight touchdowns, and chipped in almost 300 receiving yards and another touchdown. This is by total points. He did miss a couple games, so I think that does throw it off a little bit. Let's see. In points per game, he was number nine. Okay. So what do you think happened there? I think it's just the Bengals kind of fell apart this year. They ended up finding Bill Lazor. I think it was a good prediction. I think we didn't anticipate Lazor being this bad.
Yeah, I think I probably was pushing the little hot take issue a little bit as well. And I you know, he started off really well. And then, as you mentioned, the whole team just sort of fell apart. So I really think that had something to do with it. Now, whether that was a four spot difference or not, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you know, just those kind of couple things there.
All right. Evan, you there?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Joe Mixon. It is currently February 1st. The Bengals are a mess. What do you think going into 2019? What do you think will happen to him?
Their offensive line can't get any worse.
That's very true.
That's pretty good. And he's still under. It's his third year, so he's still on his rookie contract. For all the trouble he's had with being a, you know, resembling a human being at all, he doesn't seem to have cried a lot about the team's poor performances. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's going to do exactly what he did this year. Be a solid second, third round pick that gives you a top 10 in auction. I think he's going to fall to a little bit before price. Who called Joe Mixon top five running back? Was that Mike?
Yeah,
that was
my. Yeah, I think that's still going to be a call next year that you will not, even if it doesn't come true, you won't have egg on your face about.
Yeah, I mean, it was a solid call. But here's a question for you guys. Okay. Next year, let me formulate this thought. Okay. There are three AFC North running backs that could conceivably all end up in the top 10. Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, and James Conner. In what order do they finish in 2019, do you think?
Go ahead, Evan.
Nick Chubb, number one.
Ooh.
Cleveland's on the upswing. Finally, Haslam has stopped trying to do anything. Baker Mayfield is going to keep the defenders out of the box. And he only has to go up from there. Conner. Boy, I don't know about Pittsburgh's offense. You take away Antonio Brown, unless they do that thing they do where they develop another number two, people are going to figure that out. You know, Ben Roethlisberger's slowed down. Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't really benefit well. He might be able to handle it as the RB as a wide receiver one, but they're not going to have to keep the wide receiver two honest. And I think they might have James Conner's number. He's not the most athletic of all of them. So yeah, I like Chubb number one. I like, God, I can't argue Mixon over Conner though. You're right. Cincinnati is a mess.
So Chubb, Conner, Mixon?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Mr. Valverde.
I'm going to go with Chubb, Mixon, Conner. If I could take a hot take right now, I don't think Conner even finishes the season next year as a starter.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I can see that. What's your narrative, Mike?
James Washington played well, came in and did pretty much the same thing. Conner slowed down at the end of the year. I think teams sort of got a read on him.
You mean Jalen Samuels?
Jalen Samuels.
I was like, wait, James Washington, he's a wide receiver. But yeah, I mean.
He still came in at the end of the year. That part is true.
I mean, I could see it with Jalen Samuels. hopefully he keeps tight end eligibility in Yahoo so people lose their minds again, because that was fun.
Yeah.
that was fun, everybody. What do you mean this thing that he's had all year is, I don't like it now, so I'm going to complain about it. I wasn't a fan of the whining and moaning. My answer to that is Chubb, Connor Mixon. I think that Nick Chubb ends the year. Here's my hot take. Top five, Nick Chubb next year, I think. Connor, probably 8. Mixon, I would put 9 or 10. I think Marvin Lewis gets fired in the middle of the year because he's still the coach.
How many games did Connor play last year?
14, also, I think.
14. He did not hit 1,000 rushing yards.
Well, that's because that's not how they use him. They use him as kind of a – I mean, he had 71 targets.
Oh, he only played. I wonder what being in such a dysfunctional system does to a sophomore. You know, you see Antonio Brown hating it. You see Le'Veon Bell hating it. And now your build is the next rising star. It makes me wonder if there's going to be trust issues.
I mean, if he keeps scoring all the touchdowns and gets, you know, 15 touches a game, 15 to 20 touches a game, I don't think he'll mind so much. And I mean, I don't.
Did I hear you right? Did you say Marvin Lewis is still?
No, coaching? I'm sorry. I got that wrong. I was hoping we could just railroad over that. There is no Cincinnati Bengals head coach.
Hey, hold on. Let's be clear. He did not say Marvin Lewis would get fired as Cincinnati Bengals head coach. Jeff said Marvin Lewis will get fired next year. That is still in play.
Yeah, that is still in play. It is.
Yeah. No, I forgot. They don't have a head coach, if I'm remembering correctly. Is that right?
What's that?
He doesn't have – there's no head coach in Cincinnati right now, right? There's rumors. Yeah, so –
Defined no head coach, because that's technically true over the last – 10 years.
God. Though they do have a head coach in the building. You know what they say when you assume, you make an ass out of Hugh Jackson and me.
Hugh Jackson.
Bad joke. Bad. Like, anyways, moving on. My hot take in round two. I was right and I was wrong. LeSean McCoy. Me and Evan went back and forth about it. LeSean McCoy, we'll roll up the Battle Royale discussion into this too. I had him as running back 37, and Evan had him as running back 14. I said that he was going to be this year's DeMarco Murray. That was kind of my hot take, where Murray was a top 10 back, and you couldn't use him from week to – or he's a top 20 back, but you couldn't use him from week to week. That ended up actually being DeMarco Murray's running mate in Tennessee from 2017. Derrick Henry was kind of this year's DeMarco Murray. Sucked. And then in a few games, he made it all up and he ended up running back 20. But McCoy, turns out my running back 37 was too generous. He ended up running back 47.
Ooh.
Evan pointed out, Evan had some good points in his thing. 31 of 32 games. The Bills offense needed to come from somewhere, but we didn't realize was that the best rusher on the team was going to be Josh Allen. I did take digs at Josh Allen when I was talking about that. But I said, I concede that he will end up far higher than I ranked him. So I'm going to take a partial L on this one. Just because, I doubted LeSean McCoy, but even doubting him, he did worse than I thought he would.
Where are you getting that from? Because I'm in ESPN's scoring, and I have him. They list him as right at 37.
Oh, they do. I'm on. So I use FF statistics, just because I can switch between scoring settings. I have him. Hold on, McCoy. He's 47. Oh, he's 47 in points per game. Let me see what he is on overall points.
He's 39 in overall.
39 points. Victory lap. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Victory lap. All right.
That's what I was saying, man. Give it
round
up.
It up, boys. This is this is my victory lap on LeSean McCoy. My brand is Everybody Sucks. So hopefully I can keep doing that this year. The big thing about the LeSean McCoy thing is in the Battle Royale, I made a very difficult to see coming prediction, which was Jay Ajayi's knee would probably explode. And that's exactly what happened. Ajayi tore his ACL, so his knee exploded. Let's speed this up a little bit.
Let me help you speed things up by interrupting.
Yes.
Two things about LeSean McCoy. You were so convincing that I had him in zero of my leagues, And I just want to take this side moment to say Sean McDermott should get coach of the year for coaxing 6 wins out of that team somehow. This was a team that lost to Baltimore 172-5 in the first week.
Oh my God, that game was props to McDermott for making Josh Allen look like an NFL player. A guy who is lit fantasy leagues on fire is kind of what we thought Lamar Jackson would be this year, ended up being Josh Allen. Round 3 hot takes. Let's roll this up a little bit. Mike's hot take was that they're both Bears. All right. Allen Robinson will be a top 10 wide receiver. Do we want to just take a mulligan on this one? He was wide receiver 41.
Yeah, let's take us a
beer. Let's pretend like this didn't happen. Let's pretend. I have a let's pretend like this didn't happen much later on. I'm just going to get out of the way right now. Nelson Aguilar, I don't know why I put him as wide receiver 24. I must have gotten hot takey. Evan, you're lucky to not be on this every week because all the crazy things you might say don't end up on wax forever. But I think what happened with Chicago was the same thing happened to Jordan Howard and Allen Robinson. We can talk about that, which was the rise of Tariq Cohen. That was one of those things we probably should have seen coming. He ended up running back 13 on the year in total points. He had almost no rushing yards, 441, but he had 725 receiving yards, 71 catches, and 5 receiving touchdowns, 3 rushing. We kind of should have seen that coming. I think we mentioned like, hey, Matt Nagy wants a Tariq Hill or a Tyreek Hill. And maybe that'll be Tariq Cohen. But we all just kind of went, nah, that's not going to happen. And I think he killed both Allen Robinson and Jordan Howard's value. So going into 2019, what do you guys think in terms of will Jordan Howard even be on the team next year? Do you think he'll stick around or is he such a mismatch that the butt loose?
I hope so. Get out.
I'll take the other way around. I think that as long as the Bears don't draft someone like Jordan Howard coming this offseason, then the way they run the offensive scheme, I'm pretty sure they like. So I think they'll keep him. But yeah, he doesn't serve much of a purpose, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's just a I think they'll keep him just because he's still on his rookie deal, but he's like a battering ram kind of back that, you know, you need one of those on your roster at the goal line just to sometimes you just got to run through people. And I think Jordan Howard can do that better than Tariq Cohen. I think what happened with Allen Robinson and Jordan Howard was that Tariq Cohen, nobody saw the rise of Tariq Cohen. So, so next one, round 4 hot take for Mike was one that I berated Mike. It was uncomfortable for me to listen to because I was yelling at Mike about it. but mine was far more wrong, which is that Mike, you said that Jimmy Graham would be a top 7 tight end. He ended up tight end 13. He was actually worth having on your roster in a deeper league. He didn't kill you. Kind of what I said would come true. He's big, slow, old, and just catches touchdowns. He caught more touchdowns than I thought he would. Mine, it's hard to have a pick more wrong than this. Rashad Penny will end the year as a top 12 running back. Rashad Penny was the backup for most of the year. Chris Carson started most of the year, and Rashad Penny ended the year with the 65th most fantasy points from running back. Spencer Ware, Chris Thompson, Marshawn Lynch, Corey Clement, Javoris Allen, Elijah McGuire, Jalen Samuels, Josh Adams, all ended up with more fantasy points than him. Ito Smith, LeGarrette Blount, just a mess of bad players. So that one was very bad. Mike, you want to bash me over the head about Rashad Penny and do a mea culpa for me being exceptionally right about Jimmy Graham?
You know, you definitely called Jimmy Graham perfectly. As far as Rashard Penny, I don't really blame you because I think we both thought that Chris Carson was coach speak at the time, and really wasn't going to be much of anything. So if that actually came true, then I think Penny would have been a lot, you know, would have had a lot more production value. So it's hard to say that he is not, you know, for a hot take, that's, I don't think it's too bad for the time, even though it was, you know, now a blown hot take, but yeah.
Yeah. So Evan, how bad of a hot take do you think that Rashad Penny being a top 12 running back at the end of the year is?
On a scale is of that... one to Hillary will win the election. No, sorry. Oh, I butchered that. I should have said on a scale of one to Donald Trump will win the election because that was the hot take. And then, okay.
I would have said on a scale of 1 to 10, it would be Rashad Penny's BMI. Because, folks, he is fat.
I was like, so he got drunk driving busted?
Oh, no, BMI.
I messed up my TRA, my TLA, my three-letter acronym.
Yeah, buddy.
So, Rashad Penny? No, fine. No, oh, wait, he's on the Patriots. No, that's a 10. That's too
bad. Rashad Penny's on the Seahawks. Are you thinking of Sony Michel?
Are we talking about football?
No, this is curling.
Is this the planet Earth?
No, this is Omicron Persei 8.
Seahawks have no idea how to manage an offensive line, and they don't care. So, no.
No, okay.
He's got the skill. Oh, he's great. I've watched him all year. I live in the Seattle area. They traded Max Unger for Jimmy Graham. Like, that's pretty much something right there.
Yeah, they traded him for Jimmy Graham, and the first year he was there, they tried to use him as an offensive lineman. Like, great job, guys. Trade the, you know, world class center for a tight end who can't block, and then you use him as a de facto extension of the right guard. So good job, guys. Good job. All right. Last one, both about quarterbacks. So I have a question for both of you. When we say somebody is a starting player, are we talking 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues, or 14-team leagues?
12, because that's the what most people are in. For me, all my leagues are 14.
Yeah, okay.
And for a lot of new people, their leagues are 10. But the new people aren't gobbling up this information like people in the 12-team leagues are. That's my take, at least.
Okay. So I was wrong then. Tom Brady is not a starting quarterback at the year's end, like a fantasy starting quarterback. He was quarterback 11 on the year. But if you started him in December, he killed you. He killed you dead.
What was his ADP?
Tom Brady's ADP was round.
In terms of quarterbacks.
Oh, he was the number 3 quarterback drafted.
Jeez. My kids are watching. I'm just pretend a string of profanity.
Cheese and cripes.
My kids are finding new ways to come up with creative uses of their swears. My favorite is fudge me right in the fudge hole.
Yeah. So fun fact, Evan. So we have our Google Hangouts chat for the writers, and I'm logged into Google Chrome on my work computer, and I do auto estimates. So I'm working with the customer. I'm showing them the estimate for their car, and what pops up on my screen is Evan saying, "Fudge me in the fudge hole." And ever since then, I mute the football absurdity chat during the day because I cannot have another moment where I have to frantically close a box that says "fudge me in the fudge hole."
I like showing
a customer an estimate.
I've had swearing, dude. It's totally G-rated. I love our writers. I love how I lost a bet to a writer, so he gets to name my fantasy teams next year.
That's wonderful. That's a great bet.
No racial slurs. That's all I want.
Yeah, no racial or Rachel slurs. We don't need anything against Rachel Ray or anything like that. Mike's round 5 hot take. Drew Brees will be the number 2 quarterback. He ended the year as quarterback 9, but that doesn't really tell the story with Drew Brees because Drew Brees was, I drafted him in almost every single league and he was hot. He was killer throughout most of the year. And then he just kind of fell off a cliff towards the end and wasn't great. He had in week 13, he had 8.3 fantasy points. In week 15, he had 6.9. Nice. And then in week 16, he kind of bounced back for 16.9. Not great. But when you consider that he started off, he had 3, 2, 3 3-2, 4-3, 4-4. Those were all touchdown totals in the first 12 games. And then he just fell off a dang cliff. So Mike was right for most of the year, just not when it mattered. So Mike, have a half congratulations.
Thank you.
I've got some names here. Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, Derek Carr. What do all these people have in common? They had more passing yards last year than Drew Brees.
Well, Drew Brees had 32 touchdowns, though, and he only played in 15 games.
As opposed to Derek Carr's 19. Yes, that's definitely why. Drew Brees, better fantasy performer. I just wanted to point out, Drew Brees, definitely you were rooting for those touchdowns.
Yeah, but please, Evan, do not besmirch my beautiful pro waterboarding boy. Also, he only had 5 interceptions. So if we want to play that game with Derek Carr, oh, he only had 10. Not so bad. I figured he'd be way up there. In the 2018 Deshaun Kizer. But anyways, those are rounds 1 through 5, the hot takes. Round 6 through 10, what we did was, was it Rip It or Mike? This was your brainchild. It was Rip It or
Forget It.
Forget It. That's right. So we already talking about Drew Brees. We'll just kind of go through a little bit. Unless Mike, you took these notes. You wanna quarterback this part?
Sure. Let's see. We're 6 through 10, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So basically, I was high on in the sixth round. I was high on Drew Brees, but we had talked about him for quite a while, and so I said, "Listen to the previous episode for more detail on him." And I picked Golden Tate, that I felt was a goodbye, or I should say rip.
No, technically he was a goodbye because he said goodbye to the Detroit Lions.
Got him.
And it just fell apart as went from the Lions. Yeah, I actually saw his numbers. He almost had like the double the numbers in less games for Detroit than he did playing for wherever he ended up, like in Philadelphia.
The Eagles. Yeah, he fell off a map. Fell off the map once he hit the Eagles.
And then you posed a very good question. You asked about Kenny Golladay, who was going around in the 6th, 7th round at that time for ADP. And I was very against Kenny Golladay. I thought he was going to be just a situational guy and was just going to stretch the field and not really produce much at all. So that was a big problem there.
Well, I mean, he kind of was situational. He was very hot and cold. And then when it was all wasn't, he was actually good when it was all three of them. It's the Lions ended up like punting the season. It was very weird. Like halfway through, they traded Golden Tate and then everything fell apart. So we couldn't have anticipated them trading Golden Tate and everything falling apart like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But even before, I don't know. So you're saying that Golden Tate being traded had a negative effect on Golladay?
Absolutely. Golden Tate getting traded and Marvin Jones getting hurt. I think Golladay thrived in being the third passing option, and he just wasn't ready for them number one corners.
Yeah. And then we talked a little bit about Corey Davis.
Corey Davis might go down as the worst call we made in 2018. I know this is the airing of grievances episode, but we both thought he would be amazing, borderline second round pick going into 2019, but he is being held back by the Titans, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
By the Illuminati.
The Illuminati. Are you
something's happening? I believe more the Illuminati than anything else, because that dude is a total athletic marvel, and not doing well.
I believe in a far more, let's just say, corporeal reason why he's being held down, and it's that Marcus Mariota sucks. I think that's a big problem for Corey Davis. But next one. Your quarterback in this one, Mike.
That was cool.
Let's keep this rocking.
Yeah, stop being the pro Rams referee, Jeff. Jeez.
I don't know.
Why do I feel like the Saints wide receiver right now? I don't know.
Mike out of bounds, no penalty.
And then we talked about Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry was interesting because he, the year is wide receiver 21, but it didn't, he wasn't that great. Like when Freddie Kitchens took over as offensive coordinator, everything kind of like fell apart for him a little. He didn't start off great. Like he had his highlight of the year was against Tampa Bay, which was 97 yards and a touchdown, which is not what you want.
You're neglecting that game where he ripped off like a 60-yard run.
Yeah. Evan with the food in his mouth is really blowing me up here because I just saw that.
I had to ride the Jarvis Landry train, so I remember this like I remember a night.
Oh yeah. No, I wrote it too, and it was the last few games. I mean, after Freddie Kitchens took over, let's just look at week 8 on 7.9 points, 8 points, 3.2 points, 4.5 points. Then he had two good games in a row, 13.3, 22.6, then 5.2 and 7.3. And then week 17 doesn't count. So he was not a good call. And Mike, you said you didn't like the Browns quarterback situation and you thought he would hurt his production. And I kind of think that's what happened. He was not the preferred weapon of Baker Mayfield and it killed him. So
I almost nailed the stats too. I called for 70 receptions, 820 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he ended up with 81 receptions, 976 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Well, look at you. Look at you, Mike Stradamus.
Nostradamus, I like that. Yeah.
Next one we're going to
I like Nostradamike.
Nostradamike. See, that's the kind of hard-hitting jokes you'll find in how to be funny or I forget what it was called.
You got to have twins to have dad joke powers.
Double dad joke power. Next one we're going to skip because it's too sad. It's about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, that doesn't count because
may he rest in peace. No, he's not dead, folks. He's too beautiful to die. Although only the good die young, so maybe he is dead. Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed sucks. Long story short.
Was there ever an alternate take to that?
I thought that. So my take on Jordan Reed was that he'll either be really good or be really bad. There's no middle ground for him. And I was like, yeah, if you take him in the 9th, 10th round, like everybody there kind of sucks. So take a dart on Jordan Reed and then he sucked. It's what I get for not being vehemently anti-Jordan Reed for 30 seconds. But I turned in total fantasy points. He finished behind Vance McDonald. Gross.
I didn't set that much better because I said I didn't like Jordan Reed. I like Jack Doyle better. So
hey, Jack. Hey, if he didn't get hurt, Jack Doyle was doing all right. I mean, he was kicking at 7, almost 8 fantasy points a game. He wasn't, you know, rocking and rolling, but he was a guy you could start and just not worry about him. So
it took me a long time to realize that Jordan Reed's name wasn't Jordan Reeder because every time I pull up his name on the fantasy site, it says Jordan Reed IR. And I put those two things together. I am just launching the puns today. What is wrong with
you?
I would like to tell our audience, none of these puns are part of the book, and they're all totally hated on the book. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
See, I would have gone Jordan Reed with 2 D's. Jordan Reed, capital D for doubtful. But I like Jordan Reeder better because it took me a second. I like it. I'm a star.
And also, you have to mention that even though you didn't really call Jordan Reed all that correctly, which I don't think anybody would, especially if you told the person that, yeah, he's going to play. I don't know if he played all 16 games, but he played, you know, a good amount of them, that he would suck. I don't think anybody would have called that. But
tight end was
What you did call correctly, speaking of Nostradamus, was the fact that Eric Ebron
going.
Yeah, you picked him as the last pick. And so, yeah, you got to get credit for that one.
You know what they say, the definition of being a cool, calm, and collected customer, it's doing the same thing and expecting different results. That is what going after Eric Ebron every year yielded for me. 13 touchdowns and disappearing in the biggest spot.
You know, tight end was a wasteland last year, and I don't see it getting any better. Austin Hooper, the number 7 tight end, You know, and this year, next year, it's going to be Ernst, Kelsey, Gronk will drop out of the paradigm, and Kittle will jump in. But that's it. That's three. Jared Cook is not going to repeat. Eric Ebron probably put that as four tier one guys. I would expect to see a premium. I would expect to see two tight ends go in the first round next year because of how much the drop off is.
Yeah, I've heard of Kelsey Ertz being turn guys. So yeah. Two guys in the first round isn't crazy. But yeah, tight end was just trash last year. I think it's going to get worse this year, honestly, because like you said, Jared Cook's going to drop out unless he goes, because he's a free agent. So it all depends on where Jared Cook lands. If he goes to New Orleans, he might be okay. But he, I mean, there's still just the complete essence of him continuing to be Jared Cook, which is the problem. But yeah, tight end sucks. I mean, that's my thesis statement for life is tight end sucks. So
Cook's 32 next year too. So
boy. And when you're, I mean, as you get older and you lose the athleticism that Jared Cook never had, whoo, buddy.
he had a 4.5 40 yard dash at 250 pounds.
All right, fine. Screw up my joke. Screw up.
I got it.
Screw up my joke with facts.
I ruined your
joke. Next one. We'll start speeding this up a little bit because I don't think it's worth talking about Randall Cobb. We said he would suck. He sucked. There's not much to say about that. I am very upset that my boy Geronimo Allison only played. Geronimo Allison, I drafted everywhere, and he was on about him as being like a wide receiver threes kind of guy. He posted accepting the game where he got hurt. He posted at least 11 fantasy points in 3 of 4 games. I never played him. I didn't play him once. I drafted him everywhere. I didn't play him anywhere because he was a bye week fill-in. So I got 5 notifications when he went on IR for this guy that had sat on my bench all year. So I was very happy to draft Geronimo Allison because we talked about him in the Randall Cobb thing and then he died. Next one, or unless you guys want to talk about Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb,
not at all.
Yeah, no, it's not worth talking about. Jags and Rams, we said that's a dumb thing to do in the 8th and 9th round, and I'm not even going to look at DSTs because you know what? If you draft a DST in the 8th or 9th round, you stop playing fantasy football in week 13.
Yeah, and I like Jags defense. I was all about that Jags defense, and what you said was exactly correct. Defenses are too unpredictable, and look what happens. Jags were the opposite of anything good.
The Jaguars had as many fantasy points per game as the Colts, Bills, and Cardinals. They were all tied for 18th.
Colts. Wow.
Yeah. Not to throw salt in the wound. I mean, Darius Leonard, he gets a lot of tackles. Yes. All right. We'll move on to the 9th round. Mike, it says here in your notes, you demanded that Andrew Luck in the 9th round, no matter what. So you already got your Andrew Luck victory lap because you were a wizard. You said he would start off slow and then you could pick him up midseason and it would be sweet, sweet music. And that's pretty much exactly what happened. What we want to talk about here, Evan, Mike, you guys had your battle royale about Andrew Luck. So Evan, you were the anti-Andrew Luck guy. You told Mike he had to denounce Christ if Andrew Luck was not a top 5 quarterback. Andrew Luck was quarterback 5 on the year. So since you were the one that needed convincing, I assume you were sufficiently convinced. And where do you think you put Andrew Luck going into 2019?
Oh, I was convinced by everything in that battle royale. That was one of the most edifying podcasts of the year. After that podcast, I went out and got Andrew Luck in 4 of my 6 leagues.
There you go.
And then the two guys I advocated for, LeSean McCoy and Deshaun Watson, I went and got in 0 of my leagues. I mean,
though you were right about Watson. He was quarterback. I mean, he was quarterback 4 on the year.
Well, that's the best part about being a pessimist is when you bet against yourself, either you win or good things happen.
You're never disappointed. So, yeah. Where would you peg him going into 2019, do you think?
That's a good question here because a couple of these people are starting to age out. Brady's not going to be a top 5 guy next year. You think Breeze is going to crack top 5 next year?
I don't think so. I think either. What we saw at the end of the year was Father Time catching up to Drew Brees.
Yeah, Ryan was number two quarterback. I don't think he's going to crack it. I don't think Roethlisberger's going to crack it because he's not going to have Brown. So I guess the new guard is going to be Mahomes, Watson. I don't think Rodgers is going to pass Luck. I don't think Goff is going to pass Luck. I'm just going down the list. Wilson, I would put Luck number three.
Number three.
UB three.
Yeah. I didn't ask Mike because we talked about it last week. Last week you put Andrew Luck at two. Yeah. So we're all right there. I think I put him at two as well.
Yeah.
He's back, baby. They re-signed. They have all five guys coming back next year on the offensive line. So it's hard to bet against Pat Mahomes, but I think if any quarterback could pass him this year, I think it'll be Andy Luck.
I agree. I don't think I think as we were saying last week that Mahomes is a clear cut number one, but if you have to throw a challenger in that ring, I'm definitely going to put Luck as my top priority.
To me, yeah. Resetting all the receivers is a bad thing. Like, I mean, Hilton's good, and I guess Ebron's good, but just give me some new blood, man. Let's build up.
We talked about it last week. Mike didn't know that he desperately wanted Golden Tate on the team until we realized he was a free agent. Golden Tate's perfect. He's exactly what they need.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, as I slur my exactly because I just finished the Manhattan that way my wife brought me. Anyway,
from the sushi restaurant?
No, she made it. We have all the ingredients, all three of them. Anyways, going on. Here is the round where Mike was the most wrong, where we were the most wrong and the most right, which is interesting because we said. I think, Mike, if correct me, Robbie Anderson, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Parker, Jameson Crowder are all rips. They're guys that you should look at in the ninth round. Well, that's half right. Cooper Kupp was great till he tore his ACL. Robbie Anderson, halfway through the year, became good. Devontae Parker continued to be trash, as did Jameson Crowder. Jameson Crowder so bad that Alex Smith attempted to have his leg detached from his body to stop playing with him. So that's... It's a very damning indictment of Jameson Crowder. Round 10.
I take issue with that, Jeff.
Yes.
What do you mean attempted to have his leg disengaged from his body?
It was
very clearly lying next to him on the field, Joe Theismann style.
Successfully had his leg detached from his body in order to no longer play with Jameson Crowder. So next one up, Mike did not like Calvin Ridley in the 10th. And this one is interesting because he started off the season incredibly wrong. He started off incredibly wrong and ended up incredibly right. So Mike, I'll let you decide if you were right or wrong about Calvin Ridley.
I'll flip a coin.
Flip a coin?
Yeah.
All right. So Calvin Ridley, if you don't remember, he had 6 touchdowns in 3 games in weeks 2, 3, and 4. He had 4 touchdowns for the rest of the year. He cracked 50 yards twice after those big touchdown games.
I like Mike's thing. I think isn't he inside the top 24 in standard and outside the top 24 in PPR?
Yes.
That defines coin flip right there.
Yeah, that is.
Sorry to agree with you, Mike. I like some drama, but yeah, I think I get it. But...
Yeah, so Calvin Ridley was one of those guys that you probably did not get the games where he was good, and then you definitely got the games where he was bad. So he probably hurt more people in fantasy this year than he helped, because he had 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, 1 touchdown, then sucked for like 8 weeks. So not drafting him was probably a good call. Since you wouldn't have started him before the bye week started. I did my best fence sitting of the year saying to not take Nelson Aguilar in the 10th round and then saying that he was a top 24 wide receiver. And that's all we'll say about that. Although I was very right about Kelvin Benjamin sucking butt. That guy is terrible.
Hey, dude, don't fat shame.
Oh, I said nothing about big, beautiful, voluptuous Kelvin Benjamin. I just said he's bad at playing football. So Benjamin, though, free agent this year, where do you think he ends up?
McDonald's.
Stole my joke. You stole my freaking joke. Because I was going to rule of three, you guys. I was going to say, you were going to give an answer. Mike was going to give an answer. And I was going to say, I think he's going to be the starting wide receiver for the local. Okay. So you stole my freaking joke. I hope you're proud of yourself.
I'm so proud of myself right now. I've never been more proud of myself. Maybe when my kids are born, it's close. It's close.
I was going to rule of three, you guys. It was going to be great. Everybody was going to laugh. And you got me. You freaking got me. All right. Next round, I made the easiest calls I've ever made. I said Isaiah Crowell sucks. I said LeGarrette Blount sucks. LeGarrette Blount ended the year as running back 53. And Isaiah Crowell ended the year as running back 33. So he only mostly sucked. So good job to us. Sorry if I'm starting to sound like a summary. We have a lot more to get through on this one. Unless you guys want to...
It's my fault, people.
No, that's all right. Unless you guys want to come back next week, we still have probably another whole episode worth of content to do with this
one. Yeah,
I don't know if people are going to be interested in football podcasts next week.
Nobody cares about football podcasts right now. Let's be clear. I mean, we're going to lose like 10 listeners, so it's okay.
It's super funny. Our NFC-AFC championship predictions was one of our biggest articles of the year. And then next week, our Super Bowl predictions, we've had like 10 hits. It's amazing how just when you saturate the market with predictions, like just people don't know what to choose.
Yeah. But why don't we do this? Evan, do you think you can come back next Friday?
I'd love to.
All right, Mike, you want to do part two next week? We'll talk about rounds 11 plus. We'll recap the Super Bowl. We'll talk about our sleepers picks. We'll finish up the Battle Royale. And we'll make it a two-parter because it's the off-season. We need content, baby.
Nah, I'm not going to show up.
You're not going to show up?
Gunning for your job, Mike.
Evan's coming. Evan's coming for that number one spot.
Yeah. Evan's coming back. I'm not.
Jeff and I got the tension, dude. You have no idea. The fireworks are going to happen, dude.
So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's leave it here. We have culpas to get through for the rest of the year, and then we can talk a little bit about, I'll have my sleepers and busts up at that point, so we can talk a little bit about that, see what can Evan think about how dumb I am. So we'll just keep hammering on me. I think that's a good call for content. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think I'll do a sleeper and bust too, and then Evan can ridicule both of us or praise me, because you know, really that's what's going to happen.
As long as I get to drink at least 5 beers during the course of the podcast, I'm happy.
Buddy, you mentioned you have kids and you have twins. So you have at least 2 beer Sherpas. So you can have as many beers as you want.
They're pretty good at it, too.
Yeah, so
they can open it with their teeth.
We'll leave it there for the week with an on-air production meeting. This has been the Football Absurdity Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week. We'll finish this up. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. We'll see who is right and wrong about the prop bets. And, thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye, everybody. I love you all. And if you come to my house, I will show you how much I love you.
Weird.